Hi, it's Vikas. Now I'm going to read a Victorian novel, Great Expectations. This is written by Charles Dickens. First, I'm going to read the life and works of Charles Dickens. Charles Dickens, the most popular of all English novelist, was born in poverty. Before he was 10, he was earning his living in a murky London warehouse. While his father was held in the Bates prison, he later worked for a solicitor and finally found his vocation that was to make him become famous as a news reporter. It was when he was about 25 that his newspaper sketches and satirical tales began to attract a large number of people. His sketches by Buzz and the sporting characters of his Pickwick papers made young Dickens a famed caricaturist of English manners. When in 1837 he wrote his first social novel, Oliver Twist, which future course and fame as a novelist were assured readers for a long time to come. A Christmas Carol. Dickens wrote about 15 major novels and many short stories and sketches. Some of the short works of the author are his most read and dramatized work. Every English-speaking person knows almost by memory this Christmas Carol, with the unforgettable Scrooge, the jolly Bob Cratchit and the lovable Tiny Tim. Dickens is part and parcel of the Christmas spirit in England and the United States. The reform of the miserly Scrooge has become one of humanity's greatest symbols of the meaning and the Yuletide season. Pickwick, first of the immortal characters. The Posthumous Papers of the Pickwick Club, 1837, is the first book that might be called a novel to come from the pen of Dickens. This is a series of humorous sketches about the very diverging members of the Pickwick Club. The book is pure fun from beginning to end, as there is no serious attempt at drama or plot continuity. It merely presents the episodes and amusing incidents which happen to English club founded by a genial old gentleman named Samuel Pickwick. Pickwick's landlady faints in his arms on one auspicious occasion and leaves the entirely innocent Pickwick in a rather compromising position. She sues for breach of promise, and the very amusing courtroom sense follows. From this type of incident, the reader is treated to a long series of comic episodes and happenings in the lives of the range of ludicrous types who belonged to the Pickwick Club. The social novels. With Oliver Twist, 1837, Dickens began the series of novels dealing with criminal types. And with his campaign for social improvement, here he is concerned with the corruption of children by a master pickpocket, Fagin, and the foul atmosphere of the workhouses in Nicholas Nickleby, turns to the miserable condition prevailing in certain English schools. In Bleak House, Dickens turns his indignation upon the delays and corruption of the Chancery Courts. Hard Times, 1854, deals with the grinding existence of industrial workers. Little Dorrit, 1855, strikes at the inefficiency of English governmental offices. Also, the debater's prison comes in for censure in this social novel. Novels with superb character creations. In another group, Dickens is mainly concerned with social manners and with individual shortcomings of character. In the old Curiosities of 1840, he is concerned with the evil of gambling and the effects it can have on the individual. This novel is one of the most charming books even Dickens wrote, containing one of the most lovable girl characters in world action, Little Nell. Martin Sujalith, 1843, deals with selfishness as a central theme. Dambi and Son, 1846, studies the inhumanity of a capitalist and the subsequent humbling of his arrogant pride. Great Expectations, 1861, is considered by many the author's finest plot. Here, snobbishness and ingratitude come in for censure. Our Mutual Friends, 1864, is a mystery story as well as being a satire of the manners of the polite society of Dickens' day. The Historical Novels. Dickens tried the historical novel in Barn by Ruiz, 1841. The result here is a melodramatic thriller of the 18th century, which is rather flat. But in A Tale of Two Cities, 1859, Dickens wrote of the greatest of the English historical novels, with a background of French Revolution. This has been a highly popular story, but lacks the usual humor and droll characterization of the author's other novels. David Copperfield is the Dickens masterpiece. Dickens' closest approach to autobiography and his acknowledged masterpiece is David Copperfield, 1849-50, a long novel of the early life of his central character. This work is filled with a realistic incident of a picaresque nature and memorable Dickens' portrait gallery of characters. Not since Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales as the English book contained a more sympathetic treatment of a cross-section of the various strata of English society. Chief characteristics of the Victorian novel. Loose plots in the Victorian novel. The plot is generally loose and ill constructed in the Victorian novel, which is largely in the Fielding tradition of the 18th century. The Victorian story possesses a large variety of characters and incidents which cluster around the figure of the hero. These characters and incidents are connected together very loosely by intrigue. The end of the Victorian novel is by the ringing of wedding bells. Varied moods and subject matters of the Victorian novelists. The Victorian novelist deals with the varied moods and subject matters. He deals with all aspects of society and human moods. He does not deal with one specific mood and subject matter, as David Cecil remarks. They write equally for the train journey and for all time. They crowd realism and fantasy, thrills and theology, force and effects of pure aesthetic beauty, Chekhov, Joel on the same page. There are Mr. Glasordi and Mr. Hawksley and Mrs. Wolfe, Mrs. Christick and Mr. Woodhouse in all one. A book like David Copperfield is a sort of vast school boy hamper of fiction with sweets and sandwiches, pots of jam with their greased paper caps, cream and nuts and glossy apples, all packed together in a heterogeneous deliciousness. Worst range of the Victorian novel. The Victorian novel lacks the heights and depths of human passion. It doesn't probe human hurts. There is no psychoanalysis as in the modern novel. David Copperfield and Vanity Fair proves panoramas of society. Regarding the panoramic value of the Victorian novel, David Cecil remarks, 100 different types and classes, persons and nationalities jostle each other across the shadow screen of our imagination. Creative imagination in the Victorian novel. The Victorian novel has creative imagination in ample measure. The novelist works on his personal experiences, which are transferred and transmuted by his imaginative faculty. His pictures are not like photographs, but they are colored by their individual idiosyncrasies, which are vivid and vital. Thus, his creative imagination works on the setting of his story and transforms it. Due to rich imagination, Dickens is the romancer of London streets. Thackeray transforms us to an entirely new world like Vanity Fair. This creative imagination can be noted in various other facets of the Victorian novel. Firstly, it is to be observed in the humor of the Victorian novelists who have created a number of immortal figures of fun. The Victorian novel is full of fine jokes and witty figures of fun. The Victorian novel is full of witty remarks. Secondly, the incidents and the stories of the Victorian novel have everlasting effect on the mind of the reader because of rich and fertile imagination of the novelist. They linger long in the memory because they have been made dramatic and picturesque. Vanity Fair and David Copperfield are full of dramatic and picturesque scenes. Finally, the Victorian novels are full of wonderfully energetic and vital characters because of the creative imagination of authors. The Victorians are able to make their characters live. The Victorian novels are full of crowd of breathing, crying, living and laughing people. They have a crowded canvas, crowded with living and breathing individuals. Characteristics of Dickens' novels. According to David Cecil, Dickens is the most representative of the Victorian novelist. Although we have noted the drawbacks in his novels, yet he surpasses them all in his basic humanity. A childlike naivete and an amusing fond imagination. Bell remarks, it is doubtful whether any English writer has ever been so popular as Dickens was in his lifetime, popular not only with one class or one generation, but with all classes, rich and poor, young and old alike. Campbell, the famous Lord Chief Justice, remarked that he would have been prouder of having written Pickwick Papers than of all the honors he earned at the bar. Variety and range of Dickens novels. Dickens never lost his sympathy for the poor and mistreated. His best novels are of the victim of the slums and the poor houses, the debtors' prison, and of the seamy sides of London life. The novels of Dickens are filled with stark realism and witty and kindly humor. He never became bitter or bitingly satirical, but even when dealing with the most miserable of social conditions, his tone is one of idealism and his situations are cased with understanding and sympathetic feeling. He was a novelist of the people and his creations have had a continuous popularity with all classes of people to the present day. Dickens did much in his novels to call public attention to slum conditions and the miseries of the lower strata of the English society. He didn't approve of the industrial system and propagandized endlessly for the abolition of the evils in the legal system. The workhouses and debtors' prisons and the miserable conditions in the factory system. In most of his novels, he was a social writer who never lost his faith in the basic goodness of human character. He was a reformer, a humanitarian, and a mild romantic. Dickens was a good reporter and many of his novels read as though the events recounted and had happened last night are now before the reader's eyes in the early morning edition. Dickens is known best for his humor and for many unforgettable characters he created. His characters range throughout the English society, criminals, little children, misers, pickpockets, lawyers, gentlemen, servants, gossipers, etc. In these creations lie the author's greatest strength and his greatest weakness. Too often his fictional personages seem caricatures and show exaggerated traits of the cartoon. Dickens had a keen theatrical sense and often his incidents dictioned a more melodrama. Dickens was close to the picaresque fiction of the Smollett and of the greatest Spanish developments of an earlier day in much of his work. But he was an ideal Victorian blend of the romantic and the realistic. But his reportorial experience shows in many of his novels. He often had more than one novel running concurrently in newspapers and magazines. And these show the broken plot effects and the serial method of writing. Creative imagination of Charles Dickens. David Cecil remarks, creative imagination may not be the only quality necessary to the novelist, but it is the first quality, and no English novelist had it quite in the way Dickens had. Scott's imagination and Emily Bronte's were of a finer quality. Jane Austen's was more exactly articulated, but none of them had an imagination as one so forceful, so varied, and so self-dependent as Dickens. Indeed, his best passages have an immediate, irresistible music, unassisted by substitute or intellectual interest. He sweeps away as Wagner does, by sheer dramatic intensity. That is why his popularity has not declined. Dickens' world is not lifelike, but it is extraordinarily alive. This is so because he was exceptionally gifted with creative imagination. A street in London, as described by Dickens, is certainly a street in London, yet it is different too. For Dickens has used a real world to create his own world, to add a country to the geography of the imagination, as Hugh Walker avers. He is the romancer of the London life, and his romances are founded on the reality. Dickens' creative imagination is also seen in inventing dramatic and picturesque incidents. Many of such dramatic incidents readily come to the mind of all readers of Dickens. Again, his creative imagination makes them excel in humor. Humor is by its very nature creative. It's not a mere record of fact, but a comment on them. It makes something new of them. All the great Victorian novelists are humorists, and each is a humorist in a style of his own. Dickens has created countless comic figures. Mr. Mike Weber, Uncle Pumblechook, and others are all comic, each in his own way. Finally, his creative imagination is reflected in the fact that his characters are extremely alive. His characters are real, living, breathing human beings. His characters are so vital and lifelike that they linger in the memory even when the actual incidents of the novel have been forgotten. His characters are immortal personages to his rich creative imagination. Plot construction of Dickens novels. Plot is the one element of Dickens novels which fails to display the dramatic quality in which art chiefly consists. In their structure, they carry on the tradition of the picaresque romance, following a titular hero. With many digressions and side plots, several of his novels mock the very idea of structure or even any other principle of pattern. It was only in his latest novels, Big House, A Tale of Two Cities, or Our Mutual Friend, that Dickens was able to offer somewhat coherent plots. For the rest, they all exhibit a gross neglect of architectural principles. For one thing, Dickens is always more interested in individual episodes and individual characters than in the job of integrating them into a well-proportioned pattern. Regarding his plot construction, it may be noted that he is a traditionalist, as he accepts the formal pattern of the novel handed over to him by Richardson, Fielding, and Smollett. Some of his novels depict the career of the hero from his infancy of manhood. This naturally involved him in the handling of a mass of the vicissitudes and variegated as life itself. Dickens' surrealism. He appeared to know all the different classes except the higher classes. So far as the external features of manners, surroundings, and the particularities of different classes go, especially in the humbler works of life, he was not only omniscient but extremely faithful. His pictures are crammed with the rich detail gathered by untiring observer. Nothing seems to have escaped his eye, nothing was beneath his sympathy and affection. Dickens' idealism. His genius was essentially creative, humorous, and fantastic. He was an idealist and a dreamer. A poetic dramas. What he had observed of human nature served him as a raw material. His sleepless imagination exaggerated the comic side of everything and devoted the suggestions of reality into humorous idealism, far transcending the proportions of ordinary life. David Copperfield is richer in personal experience than the work of any other novelist. Dickens' sentimentalism. Dickens' imaginative sympathy gave a rare tenderness and a compassionate insight to his drawing of poor human creatures. His idealism tended to dwell on the beauty of human pathos and to evolve sentimental types akin in imaginative scope to his humorous creation. We owe not a little to Dickens for arousing this very sense of fellowship even with the meanest and the commonest. Dickens, a successful storyteller. Although Dickens did not succeed in plot construction, yet he was very successful in telling the story. David Cecil has very rightly said he may not construct the story well, but he tells it admirably. Dickens, the novelist of the realities of London life. Charles Dickens was essentially a novelist of London life. He has portrayed London life in all its aspects. This life is portrayed not like a photographer. His imagination has always stood in good state. Through his imagination, he has tried to give rich color and variety to the realities of London life. Hugh Walker has rightly said, what Dickens gives us is not the bare and hard fact, but the fact suffused with the glow of rich imagination. Dickens' humor. The main ingredient of Dickens' outlook of life was humor, and as a humorist, he took rank with Chaucer, Shakespeare, Lamb, and all those masters of the typically English humor which sprang from humanity and easily blends with the pathos. Dickens' novels abound in all the varieties of humor, farcical situations, grotesque descriptions, verbal twist and mannerism of speech, and above all, the sympathetic laughter which bathes a character and illuminates its inmost depth of heart and nature. But there is a remarkable flexibility in the distribution of the sympathetic laughter among the different kinds of characters. It is as its tenderest in the sketches of the Joe Gargery, who stand transfigured in the poetic light because they have been conceived with tender love and sympathy blended with a sweet smile. Satire is the least characteristic half of Dickens' humor. Dickens' unique position as a humorist lies in his mastery of pure humor. Jokes that are funny, not for the satirical light they throw, but just in themselves. Symbolism in Dickens' novels. As David Cecil avers, thus, Picksniff is not only Mr. Picksniff, he is the type of all hypocrites. Mr. Jellyby is not only Mrs. Jellyby, she is also the type of all professional philanthropist. Mr. Sergeant Buzfuzz is not only Mr. Sergeant Buzfuzz, he is the type of all legal advocates. Mr. Dumpy is not just Mr. Dumpy, but the type of all those in whom pride is symbolized. Like the writers of the old moralities, Dickens peoples his state with virtues and vices. And like them, he does it gaily, presented them as no frigid abstraction, but as clowns and janitors, thawing his bladders, exuberant in motley and well. Dickens' portrayal of female characters. Charles Dickens has not succeeded in depicting female characters in successful manner. He had portrayed these characters in a weak and artificial manner. The characters as they are depicted seem to show lack of understanding of sex life. He has succeeded in regard to women characters. He has succeeded only in the portrayal of abnormal women characters. Dickens' handling of villains. Charles Dickens was a moralist. He has depicted the villains as horrible figures and made them face the consequence in the end. He wanted to uphold moral values, and he has done so in this manner. Has not presented them as detestable figures. We do not hate them. To quote David Cecil, for the hate Skies, Sykes, Fagin, Uriah Heep, Shores, and all other villainous freaks and misfits who went and roar their way through his books is really to love them, because they are tangible, they take us by the heart and enjoy our acquaintance not only with humanity as it is, but as it might become if life should take another slant. Dickens, a novelist of international repute. His novels have achieved importance and fame not only in England, but in other parts of the world also. He is pretty famous in America as well as in India, Even in Russia, Italy, Germany, his novels made a mark. The greatest Russian novelist, Tolstoy, thought a great deal of him. And when he died, an Italian newspaper bore very characteristically for his headline the news, "Our Charles Dickens is dead." Indeed, Dickens was not of his country alone, but of all the world. He will be read as long as books are read.